And welcome to the midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Vicky's away today. She'll be back on Friday, though, but we have company today anyhow, so it won't seem slow at all. Hello, Rachel.
Good to be here.
Rachel Barton Pine, whose violin artistry you hear many times during the midday and other parts of the day on Wisconsin Public Radio, is in Madison. She's going to be playing at the Capitol Theater Friday night, 8 o'clock, with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. She's going to be playing that wonderful Vaughan Williams lyrical piece, The Lark Ascending. And I guess, let's see, are you also involved in the Arvo Pärt, The Fratres?
Yes, indeed.
That's one of those pieces that just turns up in all these different forms, so I wasn't sure, but you're there.
I think he arranged it for every possible combination of instruments, just about.
So it would seem. Well, you have brought at least one of your instruments today, which is always a treat.
Absolutely. Well, I should definitely introduce this violin to everybody later, but first, why don't I take it for a whirl and play a little something?
All right.
An arrangement of my own. It's Introduction, Theme, and Variations on the New Zealand National Anthem, which is called God Defend New Zealand. I wrote it after I had my first concert tour down there, and actually, being here in Madison, the conductor of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra that I'm going to play with, Andrew Sewell, is actually from New Zealand. So I thought it would be a perfect piece to...
But just became an American citizen today, I'm told.
Actually, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Okay. So it's my last chance to play this piece for him.
Well, we'll see about that, but we're looking forward to hearing it right now. Bravo. It's the official title, Variations on...
Introduction, Theme, and Variations on God Defend New Zealand.
By Rachel Barton Pine. Great set of variations and I don't know how many techniques involved there. It seems like you pulled
every trick in the book.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful piece. You have, for the last several years, been doing a substantial amount to... keep bring young people into classical music. You've done it in a couple of interesting ways. One of which, I gather, is playing with a lot of, what would you call them, pop musicians.
Well, not exactly. One of the things that I do is sometimes play covers of rock songs and, you know, different things like that as sort of a way to introduce my peers, you know, young people to the violin. And then I, you know, go from there into playing something like a Paganini Caprice or, you know, some fast and exciting classical music and, you know, and talk about the fact that many of the great rock musicians were classically trained and consider their music to be classically influenced. Just as by, on the other side of the coin, so much classical music actually has a lot of influence from the folk music or popular music of its time and place. So it's really not like, you know, classical music's over here and everything else is over there, that you can really enjoy both and add classical music to your listening options.
Never really has been that separate, has it?
Exactly.
Popular music from classical.
Yeah, and what was really fun is my last album, Scottish Fantasies for Violin and Orchestra with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, I did the Brooke Scottish Fantasy and then other concertos based on authentic Scottish folk melodies, and actually had the great pleasure of having some coachings with one of the world's greatest Scottish fiddlers, Alistair Fraser, who helped me dig up the original tunes, you know, the 1700s versions of all of these songs, and showed me how a fiddler would play it. And then I tried to bring a lot of those inflections and Gaelicisms to the violin concertos.
Oh, well, that would, yeah, but I've never heard it done that. I guess I'd say scientifically, to actually go back to the originals and hear them with their original folk flavor and then incorporate it into the Brook Scottish fantasy.
Yeah, well, just, you know, going back to the roots. And once that sounds in your ear, you know, you just can't not play it that way anymore.
Well, you you do a lot of outreach, too, don't you, with students, I guess, especially in the Chicago area?
Well, all over. Definitely, you know, visiting classrooms is always fun. I did a little bit of that today. I'm going to do some more tomorrow here in Madison. But I have a foundation now, which is the Rachel Elizabeth Barton Foundation, rebf.org. And we have a instrument loan program, grants for education and career. And our most important project is a curriculum called the String Students Library of Music by Black Composers, which will be the first ever anthology of music by composers of African descent from around the world from the 1700s to the present day, you know, presenting all of this wonderful music, but also the history, the stories like about how Booker T. Washington and Frederick Douglass were both enthusiastic amateur violinists, or the all-black orchestras of the 1800s here in America. Just all of this history, which has really been forgotten.
Well, you have that one world premiere recording, to your credit, I know, that includes the concerto of Chevalier de Saint-Georges, who was quite a colorful figure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how it all started, because after that album came out, the violin concertos by black composers of the 18th and 19th centuries, I just got so many requests from students, parents, and teachers, you know, for music by black composers for kids of a variety of skill levels that... I realized that, you know, something needed to be done about this, and that's how we started putting together our curriculum.
Well, shall we hear just a little bit of the Saint-Georges?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Just to get some of the flavor.
Maybe the last movement?
Actually, that's...
He was one of the greatest sword fighters or swordsmen in Europe during his lifetime, and I think you can hear that influence in this movement. A lot of the bow strokes sound like they're right out of fencing technique.
Wow, I never thought of it that way, but actually that's exactly the movement I had in mind. So let's hear the finale of the Violin Concerto in A. It's from 1775 by Joseph Bologna, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, Rachel Barton. Now Rachel Barton Pine, the soloist with the Encore Chamber Orchestra. Well, it did sound, especially when you did a little demonstration here in the studio, for a camera, it did sound a little bit like sword fighting there. Sure enough, that was Rachel Barton with the Encore Chamber Orchestra led by Daniel Hege, the final movement of the Violin Concerto in A from 1775 by the Chevalier de Saint-Georges. And, well, it's a charming piece, and that was the first recording of it.
Wonderful. Afro-French composer from the 1700s.
Caught up in the French Revolution and all the political ferment that was going on back then. I should mention that in addition to playing in Madison this Friday night with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, you're also going to be playing a concert at Ripon College with the Ripon College Symphony on March 30th.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be my first ever visit to Ripon, and the Paganini Concerto No. 2 is definitely one of my favorites, especially that beautiful Campanella last movement.
Oh, boy, that's a showstopper, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, you have this interesting description of what inspired you to become a violinist, a story you've repeated often, I'm sure. But the way I get it is, as a small child in church, you saw these elegant women playing the violin, you said, that's what I want to do?
Well, actually, they were middle school aged girls. Of course, they seemed pretty old to me at the age of three, but they were maybe 8 or 9 years old, and they had on the most beautiful long dresses. So I think it was that as much as the sound of the violin, that just the whole package, you know. But, you know, as soon as I started lessons, I just, you know, absolutely fell in love with it. And I always say it all worked out, because now I get to wear all those beautiful concert gowns when I go to work, and they're tax deductible too.
I've heard that said by other women performers. As a matter of fact, the Eroica Trio said much the same thing. Did you have an idol, a violin virtuoso that was really your inspiration? And if so, did you like change over the course of the years? Did that person change for you?
Well, great question. I actually don't have just one artist that I consider to be, you know, in terms of playing, my main influence, because, you know, I might love one person's interpretation of the Beethoven concerto, but think their Brahms isn't nearly as good as somebody else's Brahms. And, you know, one person I might be inspired by their vibrato, another person by their upper staccato. So I try to take different elements of different violinists, you know, current and past, and just be inspired by as many as I can. On the other hand, actually, a lot of the artists that I was very inspired by growing up were some of my favorite heavy metal musicians because of their wonderful intensity on stage and the way that they just communicated them so fully with their audience. These days, actually for a while now, my hero in terms of violinist has been Maud Powell. Just in terms of the values by which she lived her life, Maud Powell lived from 1867 to 1920, and she was America's first internationally acclaimed violin virtuoso. During her lifetime, she was considered to be the greatest woman violinist in the world and the greatest American violinist of either gender. She had just such a groundbreaking career. She premiered concertos like the Tchaikovsky, Dvorak, and Sibelius here in the U.S. She was the first white artist of any instrument to champion the works of black composers and play Negro spirituals in her recital programs. She was the first woman to integrate the string quartet in terms of gender. Back in the days when it used to be men's quartets or ladies' quartets, she dared to sit first violin and fill the other chairs with guys.
That would be unusual. Yes.
She pioneered you know, sort of the whole outreach idea long before the term ever came into existence. Instead of resting between her concerts in big cities, she would find some small town halfway in between and play that town's first ever classical concert. Really a pioneer in terms of promoting classical music in America, you know, way back in the Victorian era. You know, and she would group her pieces by type, like, you know, pieces based on dance or pieces from
That's
a certain
an
country.
Interesting idea.
She would talk to the audience about the music in between her selections and really get people excited about the violin, also incorporating, you know, some of the wonderful Vietnam arrangements of Yankee Doodle and Arkansas Traveler and tunes people knew, and, you know, very similar to, I guess, what I do these days with the Metallica and Led Zeppelin. So she was really a remarkable woman, and, you know, I've tried to, you know, carry forward her mission, you know, as much as I can here in the 21st century.
Any recordings of Maud Powell?
Actually, she lived into the very beginning of the recording era, not into the electric age, but she did leave behind a significant body of, you know, 3 to 5 minute wax cylinders or whatever those were, and they have been reissued on Naxos. But I'm very excited that my next album, which will be released in around May, June, is actually going to be a tribute to Maud Powell, including many of her own transcriptions and also a number of works dedicated to her, like the Amy Beach Romance and others.
Wow, what a great concept.
So it'll be a pretty fun album, and really, hopefully, help to, you know, bring her, you know, her reputation, you know, back into the forefront where it really should be. You know, we always hear about Chrysler and all those guys, and Maud has been, you know, really much more forgotten than she ought to have been, because I think her artistry and her life have so much relevance for, you know, professional musicians and music students coming up even today.
Well, that's great. Look for the Rachel Barton Pine Maud Powell CD coming soon on Naxos.
No, actually on CD.
It is on CD.
Yeah, her music's on Naxos and mine is on CD.
Oh, okay. I wondered about that. Good. All right, we'll get that straight. And you have some more Scottish things.
Yeah,
you've talked about them. Now we're going to get to hear some
little,
before the quiz question.
I should probably just quickly tell you what the fiddle is before I play it for you one last time. This instrument, which I've been using since three albums ago, my Brahms Concerto with the Chicago Symphony, violin was made in 1742 by Guarneri del Gesu, so the same year and same maker as Paganini's violin. And this particular Guarneri is known as the Ex-Soldat, in honor of Marie Soldat, another of the rare 19th century women violin soloists. This lady from the other side of the ocean, Marie Soldat, was from Austria and was discovered as a teenager by Brahms, became part of his inner circle of chamber musicians, and was one of the first champions of the Brahms Concerto, which became her signature piece. And the really exciting thing is that Brahms himself, when she needed a good instrument to play her concerts on, he went and found an aristocratic family to buy a violin for Marie Soldat's use, and Brahms himself picked this one. So wow. I can't help but think that he must have had his concerto in mind when he did so, because it's great for all repertoire, but it works particularly well for the Brahms Concerto.
You're justified to think so.
It's an amazing instrument, and I just wish it could tell me about having met Brahms. But I think I'm probably the first one to fiddle on it, and so I'll just play a little Scottish piece. This one is circa 1740. It's called Pibroch, which means piping.
Charming. Pibrochen?
Pibroch.
Pibroch. Pibroch.
Something like that.
A Scottish tune. And I can only now imagine what your Scottish fantasy must sound like.
Well, I'll be sure to get you that album.
All right, and we'll be sure to play it here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Been a pleasure having you with us again this time. It's your second visit. You were here about 4 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Rachel Barton Pine will be playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra Friday night, February 23rd, 8 o'clock, Capitol Theater. Be playing the Vaughan Williams Lark Ascending and Fratres by Arvo Pärt. And then, as I mentioned, also on March 30th with the Ripon College Symphony.
And you know what? And a couple weeks after that, in the middle of April, my debut with the Milwaukee Symphony playing the Brook Scottish Fantasy.
Oh, well, okay. Line up now. Great. What a lot to look forward to. Thanks for being with us again,
Thanks
or being
me.
With me, I should say, and I look forward to your next visit.
Terrific.